So today, as we open the Word of God, we are going to be looking together at the book of Job. Now, I don't know what that stirs up for you as you come into this space today. And I know it doesn't take me standing up here to tell you all that sometimes life can be tough. Sometimes darkness descends. And this is very much a reality of living in a broken world. And unfortunately, we as Christians are in no way exempt from that. We find ourselves in a bit of a quandary. We know God to be sovereign, yet the reality of what we're facing can be so, so tough. So how are we to respond to God in those times? How are we to respond when darkness descends? Well, Carrie Sandham, our speaker for today, is going to be helping us unpack that further from the book of Job. But before she gets started, Carrie, why don't you come up and join me? We'll take some time to get to know you a little bit. Do you want to give her a warm welcome, ladies? Well, firstly, a huge no mai hare mai to Aotearoa New Zealand. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me over.
You might be able to tell from the accent, it's been a bit of a journey to get here. Can you tell us a little bit about where you've come from?
I bring you greetings from the UK. So I grew up in London and I'm currently living about an hour south of London in a place called Tunbridge Wells.
There you go. Has been a bit of a journey. What is your story? Can you tell us a little bit about how you came to put your trust in Jesus?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in a non-Christian home, and yet the early Christian influence came from my grandparents. So my mother was an only child. She grew up in a Christian home, but sadly walked away from the Lord when she left home. But we were the only grandchildren that my grandparents on that side had because she was an only child. And when my grandfather retired, they decided to move to close to where we were living, and then negotiated with my parents to take me and my siblings off to church. So every Sunday morning from the age of three, that meant going to church with my grandparents. And I have a visual picture in my mind of my grandfather with his big black Bible, opening the page, smoothing the page, and really listening to what was being taught from a very early age. And he also prayed for us. And in God's kindness, all of my siblings and myself made commitments to Christ when we were teenagers. Much to the surprise of our parents, I have to say. But in God's kindness, my mother came back to her faith later on in life. And my dad, I don't know where he stood with the Lord when he died some years ago, but he'd certainly heard the gospel and was very intrigued by his kids and also his grandchildren who are following Jesus too.
That's so encouraging. I'm always encouraged by the prayers of grandparents.
Absolutely right.
That is such a precious gift. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in vocational ministry?
Yes, I trained as a high school teacher, and I was teaching maths to, you call it math, don't you? Math to teenagers, and just helping out in the youth group at my local church. Took some of the kids I taught to the youth group. And one day, the senior pastor of the church tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "I think you should go to Bible college." I said, "Why? Why would I want to do that?" I was convinced that Bible college was really only for guys who were going to end up leading churches, and I knew that wasn't something that women would do. And I was actually quite enjoying teaching teenagers. And he said, "Well, I think you enjoy teaching the Bible as much as you enjoy teaching algebra." I wasn't quite sure about that because I found algebra very easy then anyway. I don't think I could do it now. But teaching the Bible is quite hard. But anyway, it took him 4 years, but he did persuade me in the end to go to Bible college. With a view, I would come back into teaching in a school and serving the church in a kind of spare time capacity, but would be better equipped to do that. So I thought, okay, I'll spend 3 years doing that. The Lord clearly had other plans, because while I was at college those 3 years, the Church of England in its wisdom started ordaining women to be priests so they could become senior pastors, vicars, and ultimately to become bishops. And I thought, well, I know women shouldn't be doing that. I was convinced from the New Testament that that wasn't the right role for women. But I thought, well, what is it that women can do in the local church? How can we model that there are word ministries that women can do, but just not that one? To cut a long story short, for the next 25 years, I worked in local church ministry. And at the end of each 5 or 6 years doing that, I thought, well, I'll go back to teaching math now. And then the Lord would open up another opportunity. So, I was involved in local church ministry, not by design, almost by accident, but with the Lord, there aren't any accidents, are there? I would never have thought in a million years I would have been doing it. And lo and behold, I've done it for the last 25 years. So
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
What does your current role involve now?
Yeah, so I moved to Tunbridge Wells about 12 years ago to serve the church there in the women's ministry. As I got older, so the people I worked with got older. So I started off in youth ministry, then did a bit of student ministry, young workers ministry, young mums ministry, and then moved to Tunbridge Wells and then worked with everybody. So I was serving the local church there, doing small group Bible studies, one-to-one Bible studies. And was also helping out at the Cornhill training course, which is very similar to your TIM course here, I think, training and ministry course. And I was tutoring the women, teaching the women, encouraging them to take on word ministry roles, whether they were able to do it full-time in a paid capacity or part-time or doing it all in their spare time. So I was doing that a little bit, one or two afternoons a week, and eventually they got in touch and said, we'd really like you to come and do this full-time. So for the last 6 years, I stepped off the staff team at St. John's. I'm still a member there and still attend there, but I travel up to London and I teach the women about word ministry and how to do ministry as a woman.
That's awesome. Sounds like a pretty full plate. What do you do to switch off?
Well, people will always be surprised at this, but I really enjoy watching sport. And that's because my dad had no sons, and I was the only one who went with him when he was watching football and cricket and rugby. So I have a football team who I support, Chelsea FC. Don't worry, I'm a long way from home, I know. They're also not doing very well at the moment. I did play sport when I was younger. I don't do that so much now. I like walking, I like reading whodunits, I like sitting in coffee shops and chatting to friends over a cup of coffee. So there are lots of different ways in which I try and switch off.
That's awesome. And I know yesterday, I'm going to drop you in it, you shared that one of the things that will sometimes make you emotional is the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, terrible, terrible. I don't know about you, but the medal ceremonies where people are getting the gold, the silver, the bronze, I completely well up every single time because it must be so good to have worked so hard for so long and then to achieve your goal. It doesn't matter what the event is. It doesn't even matter what country they're from. I'm just so glad for them and relieved that, you know, all that hard work has come to that. And, yeah, I well up. So, yeah, it's very strange. Very strange.
Beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit, why did you decide to teach us from the book of Job today?
Yeah, well, the book of Job, it's one of those, it's quite a long book, isn't it? Don't worry, we're not going to do all 42 chapters today. But it's one of those books in the Old Testament that I think sometimes women avoid. And somebody in my Bible study group back home said, oh, she never reads Job and she never reads Revelation because it's too challenging and too scary. And I thought, that's not right. All of God's word is to be read by all of his people. So I started doing some studies in Job, and also Revelation, actually. But the Job studies, I thought, yeah, we do need to engage with this. Because, of course, as you've said already, Bex, we live in a broken world, and Christians are not immune from the sufferings and challenges and trials of living in a broken world. And Job actually tackles that issue head on. Doesn't give us all the answers, but it's there for a reason, and God's people should find comfort from reading it. So that's what I'm hoping that we might begin to do today.
Big stuff there. Let me pray for you and for all of us as we come to God's word together, and then I'll hand over.
Thanks.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of Carrie and the work that she's put in to prepare to share with us from Job today. Lord, we ask that you would speak through her and that for each of us as we come to your word, that our hearts would be ready to hear what you have for us. Lord, that where there's challenge, we would hear it, but we would also receive your comfort alongside it. Be with us, Lord, we ask. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Lee's going to come and read the first passage for us in a moment. But before she does that, I just want to have a few introductory comments as we dive into this book. So we'll have the reading in a moment. But first of all, I want to ask you a question. What is it in life that you dread the most? What is it that keeps you awake at night? Maybe the thing that you dread the most is the death of someone you love, your husband or a child or a grandchild. And I'm well aware that for some of you, that's already a reality that you live with. And of course, it can happen to anyone. One of our students in London earlier on this year discovered that her husband had an inoperable brain tumour earlier on this year, and he died 3 weeks later. It's very, very quick. He was a Christian, and he's safely home with the Lord, which is, of course, some comfort, but she is now left to bring up two young children on her own. Maybe the things that keep you awake at night is the challenge of getting older, losing your hearing, your eyesight, your mobility, and your independence. My father hated giving up driving when he got too old for that, and it was hard to see how his world really shrank from then onwards. Maybe it's the fear of a cancer diagnosis and those seemingly endless trips to the hospital for a treatment that might not cure you. Maybe the thing you dread the most is losing your job. I think all of us at some point will have suffered from the imposter syndrome, the fear that it's only a matter of time before someone discovers you're totally out of your depth and can't do your job. Maybe that's the thing that keeps you awake at night and you fear getting the sack. Maybe the biggest worry of all is that you might lose your faith, that something so traumatic happens that it causes you to turn away from the Lord and reject him forever. If you've ever studied the book of Hebrews, then you will know that they were tempted to give up on the Lord Jesus because life was getting hard, and they were in danger of forfeiting everything that they had in Christ. I wonder if we've ever worried that that could happen to us. The book of Job is about a God-fearing man who loses nearly everything he has, his children, his possessions, his livelihood, and his health are all ripped away in tragic circumstances. But remarkably, he doesn't lose his faith. He's left in terrible pain and mind-numbing anguish, but he refuses to blame God for what's happened to him or to turn away from him. Now, this means that our study of Job today comes with a bit of a health warning. We're going to be looking at some difficult truths this morning, and it's possible that memories of difficult times will be stirred, and that will produce an emotional reaction. Tears may come. Please don't worry if that happens, but please don't suffer in silence. Talk to someone and ask them to pray for you. I obviously don't know the challenges that you may be facing at the moment or what challenges you may have been through in the past. I obviously don't know any of those. My intention today is not to cause you any distress, but to simply teach you from God's word as faithfully and clearly as I can, because I believe that God has got you here today because he wants you to hear this. And whatever it is that you may be going through currently, or whatever it is that you may go through in the future, I believe that there is comfort here in the book of Job for those who listen and resolve to go on trusting the Lord, just as Job did. Let me pray that that will happen, and then Lee's going to come and read for us. Father God, we do thank you for the book of Job. We're sorry that we're often slow to read these large, unknown books in your word. But I pray that you would speak to us through it, as you have promised to do. Pray that your spirit would be at work as well, convicting us of the truths that are here, challenging us where that needs to happen, and also comforting us and encouraging us to go on trusting you in the days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Do turn to Job chapter 1, and Lee's going to come and read that for us.